the vine, not divine. There's a difference. He is divine. And as the great writer, poet, Keith Green once said, he is divine, I am DeBranch. A missionary in a third world country went and was ministering among the people. And then one day, a couple of locals came to visit him. The missionary had a generator powering a few small electrical appliances in the home, including a light in the middle of his living area. The light was just hanging from a wire in the middle of the living room. And when the guests came, they saw the missionary flip on the switch and lit up the whole room. And wow, it was impressive. And so one of them, before leaving, asked if he could have one of those light bulbs from the missionary. The missionary smiled and thought he just wanted it as a memento, as a trinket, as something to remember him by or something. So he gave him a light bulb. And the following week, the missionary went out and he visited the same family, the same person, and went into their house, which was a small hut, not much in it. But in the middle of their living area, there was this light bulb hanging from a string from the ceiling. The missionary smiled and he tried to explain to them how that it needs electricity. It needs to be wired in with a special wire to be able to shine and be able to work. And they just didn't understand that. Now, we may hear a story like that and kind of smile at the naivety of not understanding how it works. But in many ways, we are similar today. And perhaps even some here this morning have the same understanding when it comes to spiritual things. Jesus here in our passage in John 15 this morning is going to be telling us a illustration, a story about the importance of our connection with the power, our connection into the source. He uses an analogy, though, of the vineyard and branches. And let's take a look and follow along in your Bibles or on the screen as I read from John chapter 15, verse number 1. He says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, and you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered. And they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. By this is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. So you will be my disciples. Let's pray. Father, pray today that once again we would see the glory, the majesty of who Jesus is as he once again explains to us in this I am statement how he is the vine. Open our eyes. I pray, Lord, that if there is anybody in this place, no matter how long they've been attending or no matter how long they have been involved in Christian activities, but if they don't know you as the vine, if they have not been grafted into you, I pray that today you would open up their eyes, help them to see their desperate need, that they need to be saved. For without you, Lord, they are completely lost. They are helpless, hopeless, and doomed. So, Father, open their eyes and understanding, and I pray for my brothers and sisters that you would enlighten us with your word, that we can better see who we are in you and who you are. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen? Amen. Are you with me? Are you awake? Amen. Okay, let us continue on then. So I want to ask you, we just read the story, what Jesus was saying here. Who is the vine? Again, not divine, who is the vine? Jesus is the vine. Okay, so he's the main plant here. Who is the branches? Who's the we and us? Okay, all true believers, right? They're the branches. They're the ones that are connected to the vine, which is the main plant. That's where we get our life from. That's where we get our source of living from, is the branch. Who is the vine dresser? The Father, God the Father, okay? He is the vine dresser. The vine dresser is the person who attends the plants. What else do we call people who attend plants and take care of them? A gardener. Is there another word? Farmer. Yeah, I guess we could say farmer. Horticulturalist. Ooh, that's a big one. Okay. What'd you say, Mom? Yes, that's another word I was looking for. Husbandman. Have you heard of the husbandman? That's not the husband that you're married to. He's my husbandman. But maybe it's not used so common anymore, but that's a person who attends and takes care of the plants. Okay, so that's the vine dresser. The Father is the vine dresser, the gardener, the horticulturalist. We're not going to use that one from now on. As branches, we are spiritually alive because we are grafted in and connected to the life source, into the plant, into Jesus. We are grafted into Him and His life. We are immersed into His life. And God's desire, as the gardener, as the husbandman, is for His branches in His lovely garden, His branches to produce beautiful fruit for His glory, for His purposes. That's His desire. And so God the Father is the gardener, and He's attending these branches. And as Jesus is saying here, He's working them and He's pruning them so that they will produce much fruit. This is the picture that we have here. So our first point in our message is, number one, God does the pruning. God does the pruning. I hate to ask the question, it seems simple, but everybody knows what pruning is. Okay, pruning is that act of clipping off parts of the plant, either with some scissors, some secateurs, a little saw. These are all pruning things. We cut back the plant for either beauty, shaping it, or to make it, help it, encourage it to produce more, to be more lush, more full, produce more fruit. I find it interesting that Jesus first discusses this pruning. This is the first thing He mentions. Verse 2, every branch in me that does not bear fruit, He takes away, and every branch that bears fruit, He prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Now, as we're talking about pruning, at first it may seem counterintuitive. Why would you cut back a perfectly good branch or something that is growing and is alive and is green and has leaves and even has fruit? Why would you go and whack it off? How many are gardeners here? Who's a gardener? Raise your hand. Who loves to getting in the soil, getting dirty? Are you kidding? Okay, I look around my neighborhood and now I know why. Okay. Historically, Kiwis have enjoyed gardening, okay? They've loved a beautiful garden. As a boy, we lived in a unit in Mellons Bay, and our front unit was occupied by a single elderly man, and he was a Kiwi, and he was meticulous. His front garden looked like a putting green, you know, and it was just, the grass was just kept so, and he would be out there weeding it, and the bushes were trimmed, and everything was just perfect. And then there was our house. But I like to garden. I do enjoy it. I like getting out there and seeing things grow and making something beautiful. Okay, it's just fulfilling. It's wonderful. And it helps you understand better Jesus' analogy. So if you want to grow closer to Jesus, get into gardening, okay? Get your hands dirty. But at first it seems counterintuitive. But as you understand and learn about gardening, you realize that when you cut back these living plants, it encourages new growth to come. And in the following year, you'll even see better fruit and more fruit come because of your pruning work. But in this verse, we see two aspects. We see first the branch that does not bear fruit, and we see the branch that does bear fruit. Interesting thing, both are pruned, both are cut back. Okay, now I want to note here, I don't believe for a moment we are talking about a branch that is a real, true, born-again Christian, and, well, they're not producing enough fruit, so God's going to cut them off and cast them into the fire, or he's going to say, you're no longer a Christian, I'm going to throw you into hell now. Okay, I don't believe that this is what we are referring to. First of all, we do see that there are many, Jesus says, that will come saying, didn't we do many good things in your name? And his response to them is, depart from me. What's the next words? Again, I have a hard time hearing. I never knew you. Okay, that's important. He didn't say, depart from me. I used to know you, but I don't know you anymore. He's saying, I never knew you. We never had a relationship. I never knew you in that intimate, personal sense. I never did. And so there is that. Those who look the part, Judas looked the part, didn't he? But he wasn't. He wasn't a part. He wasn't one that was bearing fruit. And so there is that. There's another aspect, though, that I find interesting, and that has to do with the actual word that's used. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. That Greek word takes away, it can mean simply to put away or remove, but there's another aspect to this word that's used that has the connotation of lifting up or bearing up. And as a gardener, sometimes when you see something that is not bearing fruit or is struggling, sometimes you don't always just pull it out immediately. There are times that you bear it up. You work with it. You tie it up. You help it. You encourage it in various ways. So it's not that God takes the believer who may not be bearing fruit, if they are a true believer, and pulls them out and casts them into hell. But rather, as the husbandman, the gardener, the horticulturalist, he tends him and works with him to bring about his will in their life. Alternately, we also know there are times in a believer's life when God's discipline is involved. Last week we saw that. My dad brought this aspect of God out, when the perfect father, and how the perfect father disciplines. Discipline isn't always about punishment or even correction. Sometimes it is about teaching, guiding, building character. And God brings discipline into our lives to achieve this. Sometimes it is about a correction and punishment, though. We see in 1 Corinthians 11 that aspect. In 1 Corinthians 11, Paul is writing to the church, correcting them once again about how they were even taking the Lord's Supper, how they were doing it, and it was wrong, and it was a disgrace, and it was bringing dishonor to the Lord. It was a bad, it was just a bad reputation in the community for what they were doing. And he makes this statement in verse 30. He says, for this reason, because of what you're doing, many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep. You know what that sleep means? He's not saying, like in church sometimes, many of you are sleeping. No, he's saying some of you have passed away. And he's talking about the believers here. Because of what they were doing and they were not responding to the Lord takes them home. You can do that. Now, in our thinking, we think, oh, that's a terrible thing to do, and that there's nothing worse than that, that God would allow that to happen. But in the eyes of the Lord, in the eyes of eternity, that is really not the worst thing, to be called to go home, to be with the Lord. That is not the worst thing. And sometimes it may be that a believer's life is not responsive to the Lord, not going to bear the fruit that God wants to see, won't submit to Him, won't respond to the loving discipline of the father, of the gardener, the husbandman, and He takes them to be with Him. He says, no, you're doing more harm than you are good for the cause of the gospel, for the cause of Christ. That can happen. How about the branch, though, that is bearing fruit? It gets pruned, too. Now, we already asked what pruning is, but what is this pruning talking about in the life of the branch, the believer, the true believer in Christ? What is this pruning talking about? It's God allowing things into your life to grow you, to produce more fruit. It is trials, it is the tests that come, and things like that. The things that cut away the nonsense in your life, the things that cut away the sin in your life, the wrong attitudes in your life, the things that bring displeasure to our Lord. This is the pruning that God does in you so that you can bear more fruit. So today, brothers and sisters, will you yield yourself to that Master Gardener, our Heavenly Father? Will you yield yourself to Him and allow Him complete freedom and permission to prune you, your life, as He sees fit for His glory? Will you yield to Him? Will you do that this morning? Number two. Fruit is to be expected. Verse 5, He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. What is meant by fruit in our text? Again in verse 2, the statement is made that you may bear more fruit. What is fruit? Some suggest that fruit bearing surely must mean leading others to Christ, sharing the gospel, bringing others into the kingdom that they can be born again. That's the fruit that we're talking about. And while that in itself is not a bad application, certainly, the text here is referring to the spiritual life that comes from the fact that we are spiritually in the branch. We are connected to the spiritual life. We are connected to the life of God. We are grafted into that plant, the vine, and His life works through us and comes out through fruit in our lives. This is what this is referring to. The spiritual life produces a spiritual fruit. This is the fruit of the Spirit. Look at Galatians chapter 5, verse 22, a familiar passage to those of us who know the fruit of the Spirit. Say these things with me, would you? Say it with me. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering. Okay, how many? Nine things here. Now, Paul, after listing earlier in chapter 5 what comes out of a life in sin that is not connected to the vine, and he's, you know, the fruit of the flesh is, and he lists a whole bunch of things that comes out of a life of a person not connected to God. And then he gives a counter list. He says, but a life that is in Christ, a life that is connected to spiritual life, this is what it looks like. And he mentions these things. This is the fruit of the Spirit. This is the things that should be coming from a life that is connected to spiritual life. This is what it looks like. Also good to note that the branches do not eat their own fruit. The fruit is for the benefit and good of others. It's not just for our benefit and good. Our job as the branches is to grow the fruit to the glory of the Father, and others see the fruit in our lives, and they proclaim, what a great gardener is tending this place. What a wonderful vine dresser. What a wonderful husbandman is working this. He's doing something here, and we're to bring glory to him. So I ask you, take an examination of your life. Is the fruit of the Spirit evident in your life? I'm not asking you if how much you do for the Lord, how much you sacrifice for him, how much you give, how much you serve him in various aspects, but I'm asking, is the fruit of the Spirit evident in your life? Do people see your life, and can they see the joy, the love, the joy, the peace, the patience, the kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control in you? Do they see God doing this? Now, as branches, we understand sometimes you'll have a branch that has a lot more fruit than another branch. And that's okay. We're not comparing our branches to others. That's the Father's business. The Father is the one that does the pruning. Branches don't prune other branches. We let the Father take care of that and do that. But do you see the fruit of the Spirit in your life? This is evidence of being connected to Christ. This is the evidence of being connected to spiritual life. As a Christian, the fruit needs to be seen. Number three, true branches abide in his love. Verse 6, if anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. As the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. In verse number 9, abide in my love. If anyone doesn't abide, they're cast out. The point here is simply, a true Christian is one who abides. One who abides. To abide simply means to remain, to be present, to endure. So true believers are ones who indeed endure to the end until we see Christ. And on this, the word is clear that we as branches, our calling is to be transformed into the image of Christ. That's God's will in our life, that we are changed and transformed into his image. The more that we abide in him, the more that we walk with him, are present with him, follow him, listen and obey him, the more fruit we will bear in our lives. As we abide in him, we allow him to prune us, to work in our lives as he sees best. It's interesting also to note that our command here is to abide in him. We're not commanded to produce fruit. We cannot just will fruit to appear, but we are told to abide in him. When we are abiding in him, the fruit will come, because the gardener is working on me. He is the one doing the work on me. He produces the fruit in us. And this is the amazing thing about being a Christian. You see, it's not our work. It's not my goodness and my effort. It's not about me pulling up my socks or just turning over a new leaf. I'm going to be a better person, and I hope it's enough to please God out there somewhere. But being a Christian is about abiding in him, to be with him, and to let him do that work in our hearts, in us. He is the master gardener. He is the one that knows what needs to be done. I don't. And so I yield and submit to him, and the result is fruit in my life, fruit in your life. To emphasize that, to emphasize that it's not about me producing the fruit. He says in verse 5, "For without me you can do nothing." Without me you can do nothing. It's not in you. The ability just to produce fruit is not in you. Without me you can do nothing. We must grasp this truth. We cannot conform to His image. We cannot produce His likeness unless we simply abide in the true vine. Abide in Jesus. Walk with Jesus. Follow Jesus. Obey Jesus. Listen to Him and let Him work in you. Submit to His leading. Submit to His pruning in your life. Let Him do the work in you. He who began a good work will be faithful to complete it. Submit yourself to the loving pruning of the Father. See if there is evidence of fruit of the Spirit in your life and abide in Him. Stay beside Him. Let Him finish His perfect work in you. Would you please stand with me now? With your eyes closed, head bowed, please. I first must ask you, are you in Jesus? Are you connected to the vine? The vine is Jesus. And He is that spiritual life. And if we are not connected to Him, we don't have that. So are you connected to that spiritual vine? Is there anybody here who might say, honestly, no. I've never come to Him in faith. I've never trusted Jesus. My friends, the Bible puts it this way. You must be saved. You must be saved. Being saved is that's a special big word. Because only people who are desperate and lost and without some help, they're going to perish. They're going to die. They need to be saved. But the Bible says that we all need to be saved because we are lost. And without someone helping us, we will also perish. You must be saved. Is there anybody here who would say, Pastor Ken, just pray for me. I don't believe I'm in that vine. I don't believe I've ever trusted Jesus. Would you pray for me? Would you raise your hand where you are right now? Pray for me, Pastor. I don't know if I've ever come to Jesus. I don't know if I'm in that vine. Pray for me. Raise your hand where you are. Raise your hand now. I just want to remember you in prayer. Is there anybody right now who would say, I believe I am in the vine, but I know in my life I'm not producing the kind of fruit that I know the Father would like. This morning, I yield myself to the loving hands of the Father, and I allow Him to do whatever pruning work He needs to do in my life that I may produce fruit to His glory. If that's your prayer, raise your hand. Pray for me. I want to produce more fruit in my life, and I give the Father permission, complete permission, to do what He must do in the pruning process. Amen. Amen. Just a few moments of prayer, and if you would like to come at the invitation time to pray, or if you want to pray with somebody, please step forward. The invitation is open to you right now. I'll lead us in just a few moments, but if you would like to come, please come. The invitation is open. What is the Lord speaking to you about right now? My friends, we're taking the Lord's table soon. Is there anything in your life that you need to bring to Him? Any unconfessed sin that you need to bring to Him? Come now. Anything that is hindering fellowship between you and the Father, bring it before Him right now. He knows your heart. He knows your life. He knows you. Oh, my Father, Lord, I pray that you, the master gardener, would do whatever work you need to do in us to be able to produce the kind of fruit that you want to see in us for the glory of the Father. Lord, would you have complete permission in each of our hearts, each of our lives, to cut away whatever needs to be. Even though, Lord, we may be producing fruit, Lord, that we may produce more fruit. Father, thank you for working in us. Thank you, Lord, that even though we don't deserve it, you have grafted us into that vine. Lord, if there's anybody here, though, who is not a part of that, I pray that you would work in their hearts, that they would see they must be saved as well. They must come to you in faith, or they are lost. Father, thank you for this, in Jesus' name. Please take a seat for a few moments now, and as we prepare the Lord's table, can I have some help, please, gentlemen, for the table itself? The Lord's table is a memorial. It is an ordinance that we do as a church, but we must remember it's a memorial. We don't call it a holy sacrament. The sacrament carries the connotation with it that it somehow imparts God's grace to the partakers in some way. So there's nothing that takes place like that here. God has already given us his grace as believers. He's given us his saving grace. And what we do here is, as believers, we remember our Lord's death. So in that sense, it is indeed just a memorial. There's nothing magical in these elements, but they give us a picture. They remind us of the body and the blood of our Lord and Savior. If you are with us and you're not a believer, you're uncertain about your walk with the Lord, then we just encourage you to just observe and don't feel that you need to partake or participate either. The Bible tells us, though, in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse number 23, he says, I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, he took the bread. And so, church family, I invite you to come and take the elements, the bread and the cup, and then return to your seats and for more instructions. So outside rows, you're free to stand, please, and come, take the elements, and then return back to your seats, and then the inside rows. again in verse 23, the Lord Jesus, in the same night in which he was betrayed, he took the bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Let us pray. Father, we hold the bread to remind us of that body. Lord, you became one of us so you could die for us. The same Jesus who was in the beginning and created all things was the Jesus who took upon our humanity to be able to die for humanity. We thank you for that body that was freely given for us and died for us. In Jesus' name, amen. In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes." Let us pray. Thank you again for this cup, Lord, for it reminds us of that blood, the blood that was shed to atone for our sins. Lord, the blood was to satisfy the holiness and the justice of the Father. It atoned for our sins. Not only that, but he willingly gave himself to us as the Son. And he went to the cross for us and shed that blood for us to wash away our sins. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. And we have done as the Lord's told us to do, and we'll continue until he comes again to receive us. So we have a few announcements, so please be patient and give your attention.
Thank you for the message this morning, and thank you for those who prepared the table and served this morning. For our announcements, if you'll look on the inside pages just under notices, we do have the Overcomers Support Group that continues on tonight. That's at 5 o'clock. So if you're a part of the Overcomers Support Group, then be here at 5 o'clock. We'll continue on as we have tonight's topic. He is always in control of all things. So if you'd like to be a part of that, come on out at 5 o'clock tonight. In 2 weeks, or 3 weeks, I believe it is, coming up on the 25th of September on Sunday, we are having our 32nd anniversary here at the church. International Baptist Church has existed for 32 years by the grace of God, and so we're thankful for that. Now, in this service time, we're having one worship service, so we'll all be together at 11 o'clock, even those from the early morning service. There is no early morning service, so everyone's here at 11 o'clock for the worship service time. There is no Sunday school. And then to make matters just a little complicated, it shouldn't be complicated, but sometimes it is, that is also time change weekend. So be sure and set your clocks appropriately, and then be here at 11 o'clock for the celebration time and the worship service for the 32nd anniversary. We also have coming up our annual couples retreat. This is going to be down in Papamoa. It's on the 10th, 11th, and 12th of November. So we have space for 14 couples. If you want to be a part of one of those 14 couples, if you want to be a part of that, then you need to be one of the first ones to sign up and send in and pay the money for the fee for that. I don't think we have the price just yet, do we? Is it in there? We don't have the price just yet. We'll get that to you soon, probably in the next week or so. And then as Pastor Ken mentioned, our refurbishment project, we are going to hopefully get some things done this week, and in the next couple of weeks you'll see some changes around, starting with painting and things of that sort. So as you give, that allows us to get this done. So I hope that you'll be faithful to giving to that. I think that's all the announcements this morning, other than to continue to pray for our missionaries, Wayne and Kirstie Smith, that we're praying for. That's our missionaries in South Africa, and the missionaries that we support, whose letters we put on the back at the board in the back. So continue to pray for them. Let's take just a moment and recognize birthdays and anniversaries. Is there anyone celebrating a birthday this week? From today through Sunday through next Saturday? Or if you were not here last week and we missed your birthday last week, anyone celebrating a birthday? Who? I hear names and I see a hand. Come on up. If it's your birthday this week, come on up. Come on up here, Karen. Anyone else? Anyone? Come on up. Anyone else celebrating a birthday? Any other birthdays this week? Your birthday? No, they're pointing up here. I don't know. I just see everyone pointing. How about wedding anniversaries? Anyone celebrating a wedding anniversary this week? Wedding. Jeremy, it is your birthday. It's not your birthday. It is. He says no. I looked right in his eye and he said no. How about wedding anniversaries? Any wedding anniversaries this week? All right, let's all stand together, and at least two, maybe three, I don't know, birthdays, we'll try it and see. We'll see if he takes a chocolate. That'll be the test. If it's your birthday, take a chocolate this week. It was last week. Oh, well, did you take a chocolate? Well, there. Hey. Boy, that's complicated. That's complicated. Let's sing happy birthday.
Happy birthday to you. Happy